Jimmy Dura, host of All Things Veterinary, a podcast that connects and unites the animal health community with ideas and innovation, topics to inspire you and energize your day. Hello and welcome to another episode of the All Things Veterinary podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Dura, and today I'm delighted to have Beth Cruz and Jennifer James from Pute join me for a discussion about veterinary IT management. Beth Cruz is the Director of Acquisitions and Project Management at Pute. She's got extensive experience across various sectors of IT with over a decade of expertise in the veterinary industry. As a leader at a veterinary exclusive IT company, she's developed a deep understanding of the unique technological needs of the vet field. And in her role, Beth combines her technical knowledge and strategic leadership to drive successful project outcomes and foster innovation. We're also joined by Jennifer James, who is the Director of Business Development and Client Relations at Pute. With over 20 years of experience in the veterinary industry, Jen possesses deep insight into the needs and demands of animal hospitals. In her role, she leverages her extensive industry knowledge to build strong client relationships and drive business growth. Jen's expertise makes her a trusted partner for vet professionals, ensuring that client needs are met with tailored solutions and exceptional service. Beth and Jen, welcome in. You guys are quite the experts, and we're so excited to have you on. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much.
Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for having us.
Excellent. Let's just dive right into it. Today, you know, we're discussing all things veterinary IT within vet practices specifically, which is y'all's expertise. So just to kind of give some context to our audience, do you guys mind describing who you are, what Pute does, you know, in the industry, and that'll kind of lay out the groundwork for our discussion today?
Sure. Absolutely. Like you said, we're a veterinary specific managed services provider. I tend to call us, IT support on decks, you know, on a steroid. We are so much more than standard IT. Of course, we do the day-to-day backups and antivirus and things like that, but we also do a lot of concierge support. So we really take care of everything that is attached to electricity for them. So for example, if radiology goes down, we don't fix the radiology unit, but we contact whomever they do use to work on the unit so that they can continue to focus on patient care, client care, practice management, and we can handle all the other pain in the butt stuff.
Yeah. Love that.
And I'd love to add to that by saying the difference between us and every other IT company, I think, stems from the fact that we do hire people from within the vet industry. So the experience that you have with our technicians is always going to be much different than that experience that you would have with just a typical IT person, because our staff knows what happens and what goes on in a vet office. And it absolutely does change the communication that you have with us. For example, when you call us because your label printer in the pharmacy has gone dead, we know how important that label printer is compared to just your standard IT person. A label printer doesn't seem to be something that's important. And so that might go to the bottom of their priority list. Whereas for us, we understand the importance of certain things that need to function throughout the day at a vet office because we're vet people. So it's just always a different experience with us. And I think that that's kind of where the concierge need stemmed from, because we have people that worked in a vet office, and they say things like Jen would say things like, nobody has time to call IDEX and sit on the phone for 45 minutes. And it was things like that kind of started getting our wheels turning to think they need more than just your typical IT. They need a company that they can call when anything goes wrong, anything that plugs into the wall that requires attention, you can call us and we'll facilitate all of that for you so you can continue saving lives. And I think that's the major difference between us and every other IT company.
That sounds luxurious to be able to do that. I know for a lot of my hospitals that I work with, and you mentioned the dreaded blasted label printer. Man, why is it? Why? What's wrong with that thing? Everywhere.
It's more the configuration. Yeah. And it's more the configuration from the software, not necessarily the label printers themselves. They all work different. And then you have some label printers that require the brand name labels, and then they run out of stock. And then there's, you know, some label printers require a print server, and we don't know that. Right. And the software we do, but I'm thinking as a practice manager, I don't know that as a practice manager, you know, that I need a print server versus not a print server. And how do I make all of this network together? And we at Pute, we see label printer issues constantly. So we know how to fix it very quickly.
That's a great point. And thank y'all for kind of outlining what you do in a nutshell. And we'll kind of hash some of that out, you know, throughout our discussion. But one thing you mentioned too, Beth, that I think is worth kind of reiterating, it's like, it's not mandatory. You know, maybe someone working for an IT company have the vet experience, but it sure is nice, you know, because like you all both said, it's just the things that come up and the flow, logistics of a hospital in so many different realms. I mean, we'll get into that, but like to have worked in a hospital and know, you know, all that's going on, it just, it's nice. You're speaking the same language at that point, which is
exactly,
it's very, I can see that being very helpful and nice.
We hear that very often, that we can speak the same language as them. It's not talking to an IT person that doesn't understand what they're dealing with. And that's huge.
Well, and to that point, how many times, you know, have you experienced it professionally with a client in a hospital? It's very tough when you've got two pieces of technology, maybe a technology piece and an equipment piece, something's messed up. Both companies want to point fingers at the other. Sure. And we'll get into this again, but I love that y'all can sit in the middle and look for the solution. Right. And you know what to call out and say, that's actually something you need to fix on your end. Cause I know clinics get so frustrated. I've been in there, you know, something's not speaking to something. There's two things needing to connect and each wants to point the finger and you're stuck at that point and you're at a dead end. So,
listen, when my acquisitions team, and we go on site to new clinics and we say the words, you will never have to call your internet service provider again. I mean, they almost shed tears. They're like, this is amazing. Because so often you will call your internet service provider when you have issues and they will immediately tell you everything looks good on our end. And then what do you do? Right. What do you do? They don't say that to us. Mm-hmm. They don't say that to us.
Well, they try, because we know. Right. And we're like,
right. Yeah, right. So
they quickly learn they can't just bulldoze you and throw out random terms and get you to hang up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we are all about saving your time. Time is so precious, and anything that we can do to give you back your time to do what it is you're supposed to be doing, that's what we want to do.
Well, yeah. And that's such a big thing right now. You know, I mean, ever since, you know, the dreaded C word, we've had such an issue with staffing and things like that. So anything you can do as an efficiency tool, which is what I've always looked at Pute as, even when I was in practice, it's anything you can do to get that time back. And, you know, you've got technicians and doctors that are already stressed, and it might seem silly, but that label printer or that one lab work that's not transferring over is just what's going to set them off for the day, because they just don't have time for that one more thing. And so we are more like an additional bunch of team members to be added to their staff. We have consultants on staff. I mean, there's so much that we do that's just value added that we're able to help them in so many ways.
I love it. And you think about running a practice and all the different facets, taking this specific topic today, you know, the technology piece, IT portion is so integral and so not having anything to do with veterinary medicine and solving a dog's itching, scratching, vomiting, diarrhea, et cetera, ailment, that it's daunting, but it's so crucial. So it's important and ever increasingly important. So one thing I wanted to hit on was, you know, best practices that y'all see, you know, working with practices. Can you toss out some things that you'd recommend, you know, as we think about, you know, addressing IT in a vet hospital? Yes.
One of the biggest things is so many practices, they get their routers from their internet company. And those routers are actually residential class, not business class. They don't have the proper firewalls. They don't have the proper They don't necessarily even pull the proper speeds that they need. It's not an appropriate router for networking. They need a business class router with a firewall. The routers that we do even have 4G failover. So if, for example, you know, Wi-Fi goes down in the building, or internet goes down, not even Wi-Fi, but internet goes down in the area, we can roll them over, you know, to 4G failover for at least a credit card machine, a few phones, and they can continue to function. So that's good. Backups are another thing. Not using those tape backups. Tape backups are such a threat, because if you happen to get ransomware on a Friday, and you continue use that Friday tape, and then you continue backing up, you might not, until you open another file, you might not actually get that ransomware running on your computer, and all of these tapes that you've done have now been corrupted. We used to see that happen all the time. So we do a much more secure backup. We do also cloud backups, geo-redundant cloud backups, to where they're backed up to different areas of the world. We used to be told that maybe it was overkill, and to us, your practice data and the integrity of your data is the most important. So those kind of securities are important. I mean, we still talk to practices, Jimmy, that don't have antivirus. And it boggles my mind, because unfortunately you are putting yourself at major risk. I talked to a practice within the last few months that actually paid out $30,000. And I had never heard of anybody actually doing it, but paid out $30,000 to get their data back from ransomware because they didn't have an IT company and they thought that's what they needed to do.
We see that a lot, the work at home, and they're not secure there. And it's like, it doesn't even dawn on them to make that step, so that you are just as secure at your home office as you are within the clinic. So
great. What is that? Yeah. How do you do that?
When you're talking about working from home, you know, there's different ways to do it, but especially when we talk about, you know, cloud-based practices are pretty simple. Right? They're able to obviously log into their cloud system. But when you're talking about a server, we typically do it a couple of different ways. There's a Splashtop application, and there's a more secure VPN that goes in through the business class router. We would prefer an avenue like a VPN through a business class router. And those are things that we set up, like Beth said, all the time. We do still have clients that are still doing some curbside stuff, and we've had to make additional securities and add outside access points to their building so that they're using their Wi-Fi and not some random cell phone network and things like that. So, you know, and then same thing, if you are using a work from home computer and you're logging into your network, we want to make sure that computer is just as secure as those computers on your network. Because if you happen to go open an email, which is one of the biggest ways you can get ransomware, right? We want to make sure that we're immediately alerted and protected, and we can get that resolved swiftly versus infecting the entire network.
Yeah.
Two things to add on to that. Can a clinic call their internet provider and request and or purchase a business class router? Like, could they just boom, let's make that switch today?
Not the funny thing is that they call them business class routers.
Oh, and they just send them to residential, and no one knows any different. Okay.
Yeah. The director of operational, our director of operational efficiency came from Microsoft, and he actually did a training with us the other day. And it was going over that specifically, as it is really not a business class router. What you would want to do is get something like a Cradlepoint or a Cisco Meraki or something like that, that is more of a business class router than you would. And any IT company will tell them the same thing. Most likely.
And that all just goes right back to the need for IT, because how would you possibly know? You know, you're going to call your ISP and they're going to say, I'm going to give you this business class router, and you're not going to think about it again.
And you're paying for it because they charge you extra for it. You're renting it from them. So
I have to admit this now publicly. I didn't know there was a residential versus business class thing. You know, I didn't know that. Learned that today.
So when I was in practice management, I did not either. It took me quite some time to learn these IT things. So
makes sense. You know,
I don't expect anybody to know that.
Yeah. And I wasn't planning to admit much of when you have lost me in this conversation. I won't appear up and up on my IT. However, I got a bunch of follow-ups written down here already. Just on this note of data security, you tossed out a great tip, which was, you know, phishing emails. Any other quick tips? You know, if I'm a practice manager, we got a meeting coming up this week, you know, hey guys, let's just touch really quick on IT security. You know, don't do or do these things. Anything you want, you could add to the email,
pay attention to those, you know, emails that say I have
the sender.
Yeah. Pay attention to the sender. They'll have something weird in the email address. It'll be in one letter will be misspelled, and it'll especially come with links that you need to click. Obviously, we all know not to click the ones that the prince in Africa is going to give us millions of dollars, right? We kind of got that. We know now not to click that. But the ones that say, hey, I have an Amazon delivery for you. Hey, there's a UPS delivery. Hey, your antivirus is expiring. I have a crazy story where I was on the phone with a clinic and she says, I've decided we don't want to use this marketing computer as our work computer anymore. I want to pull it off the network and I want to use it for something else. Great. Let's go ahead and take it off the network, put it on your guest Wi-Fi. Thankfully, she then opens her work email on it. And I hear her say to the doctor, hey, Dr. So-and-so, we just got an antivirus renewal thing. They're saying you have to pay for it. She clicks it as we're on the phone. I'm like, no, don't do that. She clicks it as we're on the phone and it was ransomware. And thankfully she had just pulled it off of there. So I said, shut down the computer immediately. It did
back
not
away, slowly. Throw it out.
It was one of those things where it's like, and this is why you need ICT support. Not only that, but this is why you potentially need, you know, phishing training and advanced securities and those kind of things, because there are softwares that actually do tests and they will test your staff and find out if your staff is,
needs additional training on that.
This or needs additional training or you know, gets kind of tricked by these things. Another big one is Gmail versus, or not even necessarily Gmail, but AOL, Hotmail, those kind of things. Those are typically not secure. Microsoft 365 is typically your most secure avenue. And that's where they're able to set up phishing tests and things like that. So we recommend a Microsoft.
Yeah, that's what we recommend.
We do have clients that are on G Suite, and G Suite tends to have less integrations with some of the software as well. So another easy tip would be that, especially if they're a startup business, that they immediately just start with Microsoft 365.
That's a good tip. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
What about inclement weather situations, or, you know, a storm's coming or a storm came through or whatever the case may be, to prepare and or react? Any tips there?
So, I mean, the very first thing would be you don't want equipment sitting on the floor, obviously, because water, right?
Sure.
We have been in multiple situations with this. We actually had several years ago, a clinic up in the Panhandle. I think it was like 2019 Hurricane Michael. We had a clinic in the Panhandle that was completely wrecked from that hurricane. And so of course, after a storm, you want to make sure that you go through and assess everything. Don't plug anything in, because that could obviously cause major problems when things are wet and things like that. You want to get an insurance assessment. But what we did in that particular situation is set up one of those cradle point routers out in a trailer, like a RV. And they were still able to continue functioning and see their patients. But prior to that, obviously, you want to have backups. You want to make sure that you print your patient list, your client list, in case you need to reach clients for something, especially if you're a boarding facility or something like that. You want to make sure that you have a phone system that can be rolled over. So some of the analog systems, you can call your provider and get them to roll over to a cell phone. Inclement weather messages, making sure that you let your clients know where everything is, you know, where you're going to be afterwards, and that you can actually change those things remotely. Because if you can't get back into the building, you can't let anybody know anything. I'm trying to think. We had a clinic. We have a clinic up in the Northeast that actually has been hit twice by once by inclement weather and the other by pipes bursting. In this particular clinic, the second time did much better because they moved their network closet up. It was not on the floor anymore. So none of their network equipment was damaged the second time. But the first time it was lower down. Actually, I don't know that they had a network closet at that time, and kind of everything was needing to be replaced. But this time they were, even though they've had major damage, they were a bit more prepared to save some things. Backups, like I said, backups are extremely important. I feel like I'm kind of repeating that.
I was going to bring that back up too, Jen. Is backing up, some parts of your business, you back up daily, right? Some maybe weekly, monthly. I mean, I guess each piece has different frequencies that you should do it, or is there a rule of thumb?
So we back up, we typically do the server and four additional critical workstations. So obviously you want your shared files potentially on a server. If a client doesn't have a server, then you're not backing that up. Dental radiographs are not typically backed up by the company. Sound, obviously. And so we back up radiographs additionally, dental radiographs, marketing computers, accounting computers are another one. Because if you don't have a cloud version of QuickBooks or something like that, you usually have maybe a manager or doctor's computer that has all these files that they don't want shared out. So we're backing those up multiple times a day, honestly.
And we do have our own protocol for inclement weather as well. So we'll get notification of all the clinics that are in a path of some sort of, and then we'll start calling them and we'll make sure that backups are completely up to date, maybe even do some additional backing up in preparation for the storm. So we do try and be very proactive in regards to inclement weather, because it'll take a clinic completely down. And we want to do our part in making it good as possible.
Yeah. And you plan for these things. This might sound a little extreme, but if having an IT fire drill maybe once a quarter, every 6 months. Yeah. I had a clinic, new hospital. We just opened them up 4 or 5 months ago. Things have been great. They're rocking and rolling. Their neighbor, it's a freestanding building, but a kind of a strip mall at the same time, just two stores, if you will. The next door was that business was opening up. Long story short, during construction of their neighbor, pipes burst or leak or something. I think it was a burst. And it's in the summertime. That's not something we think about in Georgia. But those are those things that you don't know a storm's coming. You don't know when the lightning will strike. All those things, that's where it's like, it's add it to the list of preventative maintenance of your hospital for your business.
For sure.
Having that, I think, like you said, backup is crucial. So
I had visited this brand new clinic, and oftentimes when it's like a new build and there's all the things that need to be done, we would get on site and see the owner or the doctor just totally out of their minds with all the things that have to happen. And this poor doctor said to me, everything's great. You guys are great. Everything's great. I'm doing all the things and I'm very overwhelmed, but if I could just stop these stupid lights from flickering, they're brand new. I'm in the treatment area and I cannot get the lights to stop flickering. And that's really not an IT thing. It's really not. But we're going to handle anything that requires electricity in the building for you. So all I did was call our infrastructure guy and say, hey, so-and-so can't get these lights. And because he had been working with all the people in the new build, he knew exactly who to call. So we called the light company. He scheduled a visit for them and he got the lights fixed. Yep. And that doctor was like, thank you. Because if somebody is not saying the words to me, it's at the bottom of my list and I don't have time to do it. And I thought, that's a perfect example of what we're going to do in times of need. We're going to bend over backwards and we're going to help you with whatever you need help with to get you back on track.
I love that story.
The same for inclement weather or pipes bursting or whatever the case may be. And that goes full circle right back around to, I believe it's because we know, our people know what you're dealing with because they've been there. And they've been in that situation. And so we're more than happy to bend over backwards and do whatever needs to be done to get you guys back on track.
I love it. And thank you. That was a great story. And I had on my list of things to ask you guys where, Patterson offers an equipment service and maintenance program.
It's my favorite
installation. Yeah. And I thought that's a beautiful point you bring up. Where do those intersect with the physical equipment, or what are you seeing?
So I have always recommended, and forgive me, I can never remember the name of it.
Patterson PMA is what we call it. That's a PMA, preventive maintenance agreement, or a quarterly.
So I have actually, we had that when I was at my last practice.
Nice.
And so that is something that I have actually always recommended. If they don't have any idea where to service their microstore, I send them to Patterson, because you guys are the only ones that are able to do that. And then what would happen is, if something goes down and they tell us, we would just call Patterson and say, hey, this isn't working for them. Can you guys handle it? And so they're still not calling you. They can, of course, they can pick up the phone and call Patterson themselves, or we would call on their behalf, but we don't fix the microscopes or anesthesia machines or radiology or anything like that, but we know where to send them. And so for me, the only one I recommend for those things has actually always been Patterson. So
that's great. And again, it goes back to where do you want to spend where's your time best suited? And I'm not suggesting, you know, every program or everything is right for every clinic. You know, there's different circumstances, but man, it's hard to beat. You know, I've just got clinics, you know, for IT, there's a cousin, a friend, their uncle, somebody's daughter.
Yes. Who's
good at
all the time.
That, you know, it's like that. Same for equipment maintenance, you know, maybe it's delegated to their Patterson rep or their hospital manager.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's worth a good look, at least, you know, maybe a couple times a year. Where are we spending our time? What should we be spending our time on? And when problems arise, it's nice to have someone who this is what they do. Just like I want to take my dog to the vet to figure out why he's having this issue, I'm not taking him to my uncle who likes dogs per se.
Right.
I don't want to just blanket canvas. Everybody should do every program for everything, but it's worth a good consideration. I
mean, you're not wrong. I've talked to veterinarians that they're their own IT person. And I have to say to them, what's your average transaction fee? And then they just kind of blank stare. And I'm like, there's no possible way that if you're spending 5 to 10 hours a month doing IT, that we are more expensive than what your average transaction fee would be in that time. There's just no way. Stop using your time on that and use your time in the practice, on the practice, on the patients. You know, I mean, you've got to do that. And that seems to work. They seem to understand that because, you know, same thing with a manager. What are you paying that manager? What are you paying that CBT? When I have a manager tell me they're spending 30 to 40 hours a month troubleshooting IT and at a manager's salary, or that my technician is doing this at a technician's salary, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Spending more having them do that than you are to have an IT company do it for you, especially one that knows, you know, your field and knows the pain points.
I see it all the time. And again, it's kind of an easy thing, not a trap, but just a thing to settle on when you're in a practice. You know, we all have those moments. The place isn't just rocking and super busy, and in your mind it can be tough to justify, you know, outsourcing or paying or whatever the case may be, when in your head it's like, no, I've got people that can do that, you know, like I get that trap, but I think it can be short-sighted in a lot of cases because their time's just better spent thinking about the business. The All Things Veterinary Podcast is sponsored by Patterson Veterinary, supplier of products, equipment, software, services, and essentials for your practice. Patterson goes the extra mile to make sure you get what you need quickly, develops ways to help your practice run a little better, and backs it all with legendary customer service. Find all things veterinary at PattersonVet.com. Hey, speaking of that, you know, I think you both brought this up earlier. You know, when it comes to efficiency, staffing challenges, you know, I think that's a good thing to bring up. What are you guys seeing to help clinics increase efficiency, you know, IT-wise?
So, I mean, obviously there's a lot of programs that help with efficiency. The last 3 to 4 weeks, I have had multiple practices tell us that they don't even have the staff to answer the phones, which is mind blowing to me. So that's when you look at you know, your different VoIP providers, and that the things that can work with your practice management software, and then that can customize call flow. So we will work with their VoIP providers, and we will customize call flow to, you know, just make simple changes that help. So for example, they have, say they have all the calls coming in, and, you know, a lot of people say, well, I want to be the one answering the phone. Great. But if you don't have the staff to do that, then we've got to make some changes, right? So we'll customize a call flow that potentially has, you know, thank you for calling so-and-so animal hospital. If this is an emergency, press one. So they get to somebody immediately. If this is a prescription refill, press two. It automatically goes to a pharmacy voicemail. A technician can then call back at their convenience. They can get it approved, but you're not taking up that phone time, and the client doesn't feel like they're waiting for, you know, an extended period of time. We've also worked with some different, you know, AI companies that do transcribed recordings or that do callbacks and things like that. So, I mean, there are options out there, and really utilizing those, you know, different platforms is something that we can help them do, because we can certainly advise them in what way to go. And, you know, another big thing is, like Beth said earlier, you know, the fact that I don't have to get on the phone and say, hey, you know, so-and-so, my radiologies aren't going through. I can call Pute. That's what I used to do as a practice manager. They'd come to me and they'd say, hey, this isn't working. Did you call Pute? Keep going. Work on the next thing. Let them handle it and then go back. We'll know when it's completed. So you just have to kind of keep being able to do that.
Before you dive in, I wanted to throw a quick flag on the play. Jen, you said VoIP. VoIP, is that voice over IP, correct?
Voice over IP.
And you're seeing more and more clinics utilize that versus the traditional phone system.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I just wanted to clarify. And maybe I was the only one that needed clarification there, but sorry. Yes. Back to you.
No, it's okay. Yeah. You know, they're going away from analog for the most part. And in reality, analog was kind of phased out, but not. There are still some companies that are kind of doing a hybrid system and things like that. They're doing, you know, voice over IP that's very similar to analog. So in a traditional analog system, right, you have a certain number of phone lines that you have to pay for. Voice over IP, in reality, you have unlimited phone lines. You're just paying for the phone. It's really, you have as many. So in addition to being more efficient, it also ends up costing you less in the long run as you grow. And yes, it's voice over internet is basically what it is.
Thank you. Sorry. Voice thank you, IP. Beth.
A lot of people are very intimidated by the voice over IP phone systems, because obviously if your internet goes down, your phones go down. But we offer that failover with our router, which eliminates that concern completely. And it is definitely a more efficient phone system. You can do so much more and customize the voice over IP phone systems compared to the analog phones.
You mentioned something too, I think is worth just highlighting, which is you said switching phone systems or going to a voice over IP is intimidating for a lot of practices. Some in some ways it's not intimidating because of, you know, the technology per se, but the stress of converting over while you're you know, rafting down a river, you know, dodging rapids, which are your clients coming in and every day in a practice. So, you know, earlier you touched on a concierge service. I could see where, man, how cool. If you're a practice and you feel that your software is holding you back, you know, phone system, there are these big changes that over the years, as I've worked with clinics, you know, look to maybe make a change or thinking about something that needs to be addressed. It is the intimidation of the swap over, how they navigate it, who's in charge at the clinic to do it, who's running quarterback to be. I could see we're bringing you guys in, man. What a great way to just streamline and take the stress off. We're going to implement this new thing in our practice that's going to be beneficial for ABCD reasons. And boom, y'all are my quarterback. Y'all are the point person to handle this crossover.
Yes.
I think that'd be a luxury.
And it goes, you just brought up another point. I mean, we do that with all third-party softwares and PIMS conversions. I mean, so if somebody is getting ready to move off of a server onto a cloud-based practice management system, they're like, well, we're going to save you until, after we convert. I'm like, I wouldn't do that. We can be there the entire time. You have all of these things that integrate. We help, you know, we help you with it. The practice management system just starts emailing us. We go through every step. I mean, obviously they have to enter their inventory and things like that. But when it comes to any other kind of integrations and getting the printers and label printers and making sure the data is there and all of that, making sure whatever third party systems they have, you know, interacting, we do all that on their behalf. And so that alone is huge. And that's the same thing with any third party, you know, third party company.
It is. And I seeing some of these conversions firsthand and experiences not going like they'd hoped in the sales cycle, if you will, you know, looking to go to a cloud-based system for just an example. Okay, here's how it's going to go. Here's what we're going to do. It's going to be great. Boom. They pull the trigger, make the switch. It gets implemented. Disaster. There are, it's like a lot of things. There are going to be issues. You know, these things aren't easy and no system right. is perfect, but having you guys to be that intermediary to know, again, that's one of those situations where it's easy for a cloud-based PIMS provider or whatever the technology to point the finger back at the practice and say, you got to upgrade this. You got to do that, which may absolutely be the case. You know, your internet speed, you got to upgrade. But if you guys were sitting in the middle to filter some of that, you can say, actually, you know, they don't have to buy this proprietary widget or just, you know, money well spent in that scenario. Speaking of, you know, money, when does it make sense for a clinic to outsource their IT, if you will, or how does a clinic go about budgeting? You know, do you guys kind of go through those conversations with the practice to know, are we a good fit for you? Is this a need for you?
Yes.
How do you walk through that with a clinic?
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, we've seen a shift. Obviously for a long time, our clients were existing clients that came over that didn't have an IT, or had an IT that, you know, wasn't working well and they want to switch over. Mm-hmm. We have, as of, I'd say, what do you think, Beth, the last year, probably, we've seen significantly more new builds. And for me, when they're budgeting in from the very beginning and they understand the importance of IT in the very beginning, that is so much easier for them than to go from, oh, my technician's doing this, my brother's doing this, we have a client that does it, right? Like you were talking about earlier, and then getting into an IT. Because in reality, we are not the most expensive IT company out there by any means. We're not the most expensive veterinary exclusive IT out there, but when you're not budgeting for it and you don't have that line item or don't know where that goes on your P&L statements, then that's where it becomes scary. And so that's when I sit down and have the conversation with them, kind of like I was mentioning earlier, how much time are you taking? Because you're spending that. I understand you're already spending it on salaries, but if you could take those 5 hours and put them into something that's going to make the business money, you know, the return on investment is actually huge, you know? So it's having those conversations. And sometimes those are hard because you get people that are stuck in, I don't have the extra money to spend on IT until there's a problem. And then when there's a problem, it's a big problem. But once you actually get in there and they realize how much time they're saving, and how much, you know, when you give them back that time and make suggestions with what they can do with that time, right? I mean, goodness, in conversations, I found out that, you know, very good producing doctors aren't charging for rechecks. And I'm like, wait a second. So my practice management brain jumps in, right? That's not what we do. But because we know that, my practice management brain jumps in and I'm like, hang on a second. Let's actually calculate this. Let's do a trial. Start charging for your rechecks. See how much you generate in the next couple of months. And it's just those kind of things. And then taking that, being able to give them that time back to do that while we're doing the IT stuff, that happens constantly to where we're helping paper like conversions, you know, people who are using paper records. There are times that we've gone in and done paper like conversions, you know, from certain practice management softwares within the same software. That's a huge time efficiency because in their minds, they think it's so daunting. And then once they get it done, they're saving time there. They're able to put money back into their practice. I mean, it's, it could go any direction, honestly, with that, Jimmy, really it could, but yes, we sit down and there are times that we end up saving them significantly. And there are other times that the things that we save them in are that time and efficiency. So it is a savings, but it's not as tangible.
You know, you mentioned something earlier too, guys. Can you describe where you would fit in with a veterinarian starting a new practice? You know, this seems like the clean slate opportunity obviously would be an ideal time to engage with you guys, but how do you help those folks?
So we work with them from the very beginning. As soon as they get their plans, we take the plans. I or one of our other practice managers reviews the plans. And we say, hey, this is where we would recommend that you put label printers, credit card machines, computers. Let's talk about, what do you want your flow to look like? What does that picture look like for you? What practice management software are you looking? Do you want server or cloud-based? And we mark up those plans. We send them to our infrastructure manager, who looks at them from a technical aspect and says, you know what? There's a whiteboard here. We need to put it up higher in the ceiling. And we give that back. And we consult with the GCs and contractors, the GCs and architects. And then we move.
Jimmy, this all happens before you are a member with us. I just want to throw that in there. All of this work happens whether you're going to be a member of Pute or not. So I think that's huge too. Okay. Sorry, Jen, go ahead.
Yes, because we're crazy apparently, but we love it. So that's where we help them source internet. We can help them source phones. We can help them source all of the different things. And what we do is work it through. Not every patient is treated the same, so not every practice is treated the same. What is their vision? Are they an urgent care versus a GP? Are they a specialty practice? And we know all those different things and what has worked and what hasn't worked. And we basically work through the whole build process with them. We do the low voltage wiring. What we have seen lately, and we work with several amazing builders, but what we're seeing is when our veterinary practices are explained the whole process, right? The low voltage wiring, most people think that goes in with electrical. It doesn't. It is a completely separate facet of the build process.
And expense.
So they've got their electrical budget, right? And an expense, and they don't know that. And so they've got their electrical budget, they've got their equipment budget, and they get to the end and those are filled. And so then we're having to kind of say, okay, what is your dream versus what do we want to happen now? How can we make it, you know, work the best for you? And we get it handled. We build their network closet. We get all the equipment that they need, those business class routers, the switches that are not coming from certain areas of the world that tend to be hacked easier. We make sure that they have the appropriate equipment, the appropriate access points. We can do security and cameras and things like that, but all of it. We have the availability to do all of the technology portion of their build and then make sure that they're working with the appropriate partners for the other things that they need. And we work, same thing, all that third party, you know, we work with them the entire time. They let us know what practice management system that they're going to use or what, you know, if they're going to use Cubex or something else like that. We make sure that they have two drops are needed for Cubex. They need specific electrical. So we go back to the electrician to make sure, hey, just so you know, this is a little weird. Veterinary practices do have differences. We got to make sure that they're covered here. And we do the whole thing. It's a lot of project management too, which is what
you did blow my mind. And I love your passion because it's so fun. We all do because it's just an exciting time for the vet and the team. You know, it's exciting. And again, that's one area in that expense. I mean, that's a 5-figure expense in many cases. And
all cases. Yeah. There is no case that it wouldn't be a 5-figure expense.
Right. And to have someone such as you guys know the function of what we're doing, we're vet people, you know, where you need what and how those things are going to interact in the hospital, from your in-house blood machines to your radiology to your phones. Like, when you speak the language and you get to, like you said, engage early and integrate that into the floor plan, and then to have the person come in, because if a vet, you know, the ones I've experienced probably in the last 12 months, I mean, that's that recommendation from the builder or the landlord or whoever that you have. Probably a great person, local IT guy or gal. They come in, you know, they're probably fantastic, whatever, but that's an expensive part of the business that's being, you know, built from scratch, and that person likely has never done or only done a few hospitals, if you will. So, you know,
it's not only that, unfortunately, what ends up happening is, so you'll see the electrician, they're like, I can do the low voltage. And in my mind, it would have been the same way. I'm thinking that means it's all done. They can't. They can only go up to phase two, and then you have to have an IT company come in and do the rest, which means you still don't realize that that's coming in. We had that happen. We had a beautiful practice in the Midwest who they are more of a nonprofit. And so they're like, we want to give back to the local community. We want to hire someone local. They hired this local gentleman. He did most of the work. And then for phase three, he's like, I'm going to have my friend come in and do the rest. It was triple what we would have charged. We ended up flying somebody out and doing it for them because it wasn't a savings. It wasn't even actually someone in the local community. They had to come from, you know, a state over. So we ended up jumping in and doing it. So they think that they're saving money by doing it that way. And it ends up costing so much more. And you talked about the passion. I mean, we're building people's dreams.
I'd love to get any other thoughts you have on any other trends. Maybe a clinic can be on the lookout for technology wise that, you know, hey, spend a little time reading an article about this, or we're seeing more clinics want to integrate that. Can y'all think of anything that you'd maybe point to there?
I mean, when I talked about the voice over IP, I've had a lot of success with companies that have used VetPower Ava for if they can't answer their phones. That's AI. We've used that in a couple different places, and that's been a plus because then if they can't get to their phones, then they have somebody that it's basically something that's answering their phone 24 hours a day, right? So in addition to saving them time, they've also got not necessarily a call center, but you know, an AI that they set up that answers their practice questions that can answer and schedule appointments. It's integrated.
Yeah.
Schedule appointments 24 hours a day. So for me, that's a big one. A lot of practices are, like Beth said, using the voice over IP phone systems similar to Weave. Well, like Weave that will integrate with their practice management systems. I know they're one of Patterson's partners. We use them. We use, you know, Lightspeed Voice as far as our phone providers, and the different features that they have there have been huge. Call recording. Why am I not thinking of the name of it? But it's Find Me, Follow Me. So basically, the doctor can be on their phone on an app and call from home. They look like they're calling from the practice. So if they want, they can be making their calls from home. It makes it look like they're calling from the practice. That has helped quite a bit. Cloud-based software is another one. Obviously, they can kind of do what they want wherever they want. That's, you know, things are 5 years ago, I would have told you we're not quite ready for cloud-based in the veterinary field. We're getting there, and now we're there. Cloud-based is absolutely wonderful. I would recommend, obviously, if you have a cloud-based system, that you either have two internets, so you have a failover. So if Verizon goes down, you have Spectrum, or you have a 4G, just because business continuity, you want to keep going. Obviously, there are so many appointment schedulers and things like that that work well. I don't know that I have any that don't. There is a new company that works with Vetios. It's VetTalk. And basically, all of the educational videos, they're able to set up to go out automatically, which I do like that. You can set up, you know, videos for your surgeries. So if you want to send somebody information on what you want them to do pre-op, or if you have a compliance issue and you want to remind them that they need wellness blood work. And instead of sending out the videos manually, this company actually has them send them out for you automatically, which I really like that because you can set up things. Boy, the more you can set and forget, the better, right?
For sure. And you mentioned two little letters that are making big waves in our field and every field, which is AI.
You know, yep.
I guess we all just keep reading, watching, seeing where that's being woven in.
Yesterday, somebody asked me if any of our phone partners do AI voice transcriptions of the recordings. And we have a partner that does that. They do AI voice transcriptions. Then he is ER specialty and wanted his, he wants all of his call recordings to be able to go into the practice management software, but he didn't want the recordings there because the files are bigger. So he wanted to be able to copy and paste the transcriptions. And he's like, does anybody do that? Yep, here you go. They use AI. Perfect.
Well, speaking of kind of trends too, this is something I wanted to throw out there. With the rise of millennials, Gen Zers, younger pet owners and younger staff, that's driving a lot of, you know, what we need to provide our clients and even team members and what they kind of want to interact in the hospital. You know, do you feel like that's driving, or how do you see that demand of pet owners? And that's a popular pet owner segment that is in an age category where they grew up with an iPhone in their hand probably since they were 10. And
I was gonna say, I feel like for a moment we were going down that kiosk route, but I don't know if that was mainly due to COVID and all of, you know, like the outdoor kiosk. But I feel like our young people that are born technologically savvy, they like that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I don't know if it really blew up the way that we anticipated, and that it might have been more so just a thing where nobody could go indoors, so we had to get creative on how we were serving people. So
I keep being asked about virtual visits and things like that. And I think that those probably, it's hard because, right, my question back is, well, if I'm seeing you virtually, how can the doctor palpate the dog's abdomen or look behind its eye to see if there's something going on there? But then I'm like, okay, but the same thing
happens in human medicine,
right?
Yeah.
The same thing happens in human medicine. There's no doctor looking behind my eye to see if, you know, there's something strange in my brain. There is, but they can't see it.
Well, and that brings up a point. I hate to say we lag behind, you know, the human industry and the dental industry a bit, but we kind of do in some respects. I think those are areas that we've just got to keep an eye on, you know, as laws change and what the trends that we see in our dentist and in our physician, you know, that be on the lookout. Those are coming. Like you said, the call routing system, when you call your physician to refill that prescription, you get dumped into a voicemail bucket that someone checks later. And that's an efficiency thing that they utilize every day, all day. And those are things that are coming down the pike and already being utilized in a lot of vet practices. So sometimes it's nice to, you know, in your personal life, when you're interacting with healthcare providers that aren't the vet, that's coming, you know, just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Guys, this has been such a fantastic discussion. We appreciate your passion and your knowledge that you're sharing with us. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and we appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you as well.
Great.
Thank you for listening. Join us for more ideas and inspiration on the next All Things Veterinary podcast.